Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
What's up, ladies?
Hello, hello.
How we doing?
Good.
Everybody, how you doing?
Everybody got their cocktails?
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Oh,
yeah. This one is a permanent fixture in my hand.
Your cocktail is a permanent fixture? Yeah, I think that's most people, especially right now. The world is burning.
Oh, I almost spilled my...
Yeah, don't spill your alcohol. That's like rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel it's interesting to have conversations with people. And the through line is everybody's drinking much more than they normally do.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, it's like I don't think I've had a call with friends where like we haven't been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you just, why would you do that? It's just, I don't know.
Well, I do think it is an easy thing to turn to when you're stressed and anxious about everything that's going on, that it's like, fuck, I'm going to go pour myself a glass of scotch. Like, I just need to chill, you know?
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. or a glass of wine or whatever. So it's, you know, is the world turning me into an alcoholic and it's not me? Quite possibly.
I mean, I don't think you should take any responsibility for it, quite frankly.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. How are you guys feeling about everything? Like, what's on your mind?
I mean,
it's a lot of things.
Yeah. It's, I think, you know, we talked about doing this to try and have some fun and, you know, relieve maybe a little bit of stress by, you know, chatting television with each other and, you know, joking around and having a couple cocktails. And I think sometimes you need that rest and kind of mental relaxation after spending several days and, you know, hours each day stressed and worried and active. And, you know, it's been a lot. And so I think, you know, mm-hmm. for a period of time, it didn't feel appropriate to joke about other things or have fun with other things. But hopefully now we're kind of at a point where I think we need a little bit of rest and a little bit of reprieve to kind of get back in fighting shape again, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that we intentionally did not put out an episode these last couple of weeks just because it was, you know, to your point, Natalie, it was kind of our belief that there's far more important conversations that needed to happen and than what we talk about here. And, you know, we hope that if you're listening, that, you know, those of you that are listening, that you took the time to participate in those conversations. And hopefully we all continue doing so as we strive to not just better ourselves, but society in general, I think, as we move forward. And yeah, we do. We want to do our best to kind of bring some levity to the world with our little show that we do. And hopefully provide you some ways to distract yourself from the things that are going on in the world. I don't know. I think that looks different for everybody personally. I still haven't really figured out what that looks like for me. I definitely know that like some of the shows that we're going to talk about today have helped with that a little bit, but I think between, you know, everything that's going on with, you know, Black Lives Matter and the protests and the midst of the pandemic and just seems like the world is just falling apart.
But maybe it needs to fall apart to be built back up the way we're all ready for it to be built up to.
Totally, totally. And I think that's a really important conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I don't really know anybody that isn't aligned with that, fortunately. And so I think that, you know, hopefully this is a time when moving forward, however this turns out, will be positive and that, you know, we'll see the progress, to your point, Natalie, that we've kind of been wanting for a while. And, you know, we finally, for worse, I guess, had a catalyst to kind of move that forward more quickly. But I don't know.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you're building a house, you need to, you know, take everything down to just one wall to rebuild it and, you know, make it better. So hopefully this is us getting it down to that one wall that's left and, you know, creating something new that's more sound and more equal, God forbid. I don't know why that would be such a difficult idea to
I know.
Follow through with.
It's the minimum,
but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So this week we thought that we would veer, since we're tearing it all down, we thought we'd veer slightly.
We have a movie podcast? Fuck movies.
Yeah, well, there aren't any movies. Yeah. Everybody watch what you have, because that's all we're getting.
You know, there actually are some movies, and I think I'm interested to kind of talk about that in a second, because there's a lot of kind of news in the movie realm, I guess. But we did think that this week we wanted to veer a little bit, you know, away from our traditional format and that of film, of course. And we wanted to just have kind of a general conversation about some of the things that we're streaming TV-wise during this time. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And we have so much to say that we thought we would expand this over the next 2 weeks. So you're going to get two episodes of this.
I mean, so, we're going to talk a lot of television. So I think that at least needed to be over a 2-episode period, because otherwise people would be listening to a 3-hour podcast, which who wants to do that?
Yeah. And I'm actually really excited for this episode, because as you guys, I think, know, I'm not really a TV person. Like, it's actually really challenging for me sometimes to get involved in like a series where I have to watch like 10 to, you know, 15 episodes or something. But there has been so much quality television in the last 3 months that I've actually found myself overwhelmed by it. And I'm super excited to talk about this stuff with you guys, because there's a lot of really fun, great stuff that's been out there that I've enjoyed. So I thought that we could kind of open the conversation today with a discussion just in general about all these different streaming services. And if you guys have preferences, if you've tried some of them. I know that like HBO Max, for example, just came out a couple weeks ago. And I don't know if you guys have opinions about that. I have some pretty strong opinions about it. Have you guys watched anything on that platform yet?
We just subscribed to it, and we've only watched like docs and maybe one or two docs on it. So things that we would have gotten off of like HBO Go anyway. So, you know, we subscribe to HBO through our DirecTV. We're apparently 70 years old and still have a satellite dish television.
That's very strange, actually.
So I don't like, we both enjoy like channel surfing and like what's on, and that's how we watch television. I would say if we don't have like a certain show that we want to watch, or we're not seeking out something specific, that's how we'll watch television or movies.
That's so interesting. I'm so much more intentional.
Services do not make it easy to find stuff. Like, that is the biggest problem I have with so many of them. It's like, why is it so difficult to find things?
I could not disagree more. I feel like it's so easy to find things. Like, so when I got an HBO Max login, the first thing I did is I went through. It wasn't that difficult because there's not that much content.
Well, HBO Max is different. I'm talking about like Netflix and Hulu, like the main ones. It's like
there's so much stuff that's buried that you can't even find
there. I can't find it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think so. Specifically in regard to HBO Max, I feel that it's one of those things where HBO, in my opinion, I think next to maybe Apple TV Plus, has probably the most like premium quality content. And so when they started including like The Big Bang Theory, and like, again, with all due respect, don't mean to insult you, but Friends, like I don't want that like mixed in with like these really high end, big budget Westworlds. And, you know, like there's just something weird about like merging all of that content and almost like cheapening the HBO brand to an extent. That just feels really strange to me. And I don't really understand why they decided to merge that.
Well, because they're doing the reunion. They're doing the Friends reunion. So then they got all the seasons.
Oh, I know. But they got the seasons because they own it, though. I mean, Warner owns.
I think they're trying to create a like central place for people to get a variety of content. And, you know, I think under like the Time Warner umbrella, that, you know, HBO and all of these other networks are on, it's really gives you kind of a one-stop shop for kids, families, all different varieties of genres. And so I feel I don't work for them. It sounds like I do.
Oh, like, wow, Natalie, you're quite expensive.
You know, but it's like, I think in a way that they're trying to be competitive to like a Netflix, you have to have that wide variety, and you have to have that one show that you know has an audience that wants to just put something on in the background, like Friends. And if the only place you can get that is HBO Max, you already have like a pretty big subscriber base in that. So, you know, I think that's something with like Netflix, with The Office and Friends, that's those were big draws for people.
And so, Sean, since we are old school and have our regular channel surfing, we literally watch Friends every single night, every night.
You know, it's so weird that you say that, because I was having a conversation the other day with some friends about Sex and the City, which is like probably my all-time favorite television show of all time. Mm-hmm. And I joke that that show got me through like my 20s and 30s, in the sense that like I would watch an episode every single night before bed, and being like young and dating and, you know, exploring my sexuality and all those things, I felt like it was just the perfect show at the perfect time for me. And going back now and revisiting that, the show feels so dated to me that I struggle with whether or not I am engaged the same way that I once was. And I think that it's really interesting that you say that about Friends, because I'd never really watched Friends. I mean, I've obviously seen it, and, you know, I'm familiar enough with it to have a discussion about it, but it's kind of the same thing. Like anytime that I've seen it recently, I'm like, wow, that show is so dated.
How dare you?
I mean, that show is
not as bad as Sex and the City, I don't
think. Sex and the City had such a specific style that it was filmed that is very dated. Like, that does not hold up well at all. Yeah. The stories in it, the dating, the relationships, the friendships, that all does. But I think visually, it feels, and the style, like the fashion feels dated.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
whereas
I think
there are several outfits on Friends that I would still today wear. It's a very timeless the way it was shot. Mm-hmm. It still looks great. I think they remastered some of the older episodes, so it's like they do look a little bit better. You know, it's of course the ones in early, you know, 90s for sure. Those look a little bit more dated, but especially the last half of it still looks great.
Interesting. Yeah, I know that was one big difference between Sex and the City. Sex and the City was, I want to say that it was shot on film, but it was never mastered in even like HD or like it's not even presented in widescreen, right? Whereas Friends, whereas Friends was always filmed, I think, in widescreen. And I think that it was mastered in high definition.
One funny thing, when they switched over to widescreen on Friends, they did shoot on like a widescreen format, but they were 4:3 for television, you know, back in the day. And so when they were going back and remastering them and showing the widescreen, you know, framing of the shot, there were times where the stand-ins were in the shot, because in a 4:3 frame, you weren't seeing those people. So it's like, oh, Rachel, you know, doesn't actually, you know, Jennifer Aniston doesn't actually need to be in the shot. We just need her stand-in to be there for him to like Joey to reference or whatever. But it's like, now when you've got the wider shot and you're seeing these people in the frame. So it's like, I know they've gone in and tried to like, I think, edit around and make those changes, but it was really funny, the stuff that they were, you know, discovering when they made that switch.
That's funny.
So they've actually remastered it to the extent that they have added like the rest of the shot from the 4:3. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, I'm glad they spent the money on a show like that, because obviously people are still revisiting it. So that's interesting. Just the idea of a stand-in is so ridiculous to me. Like, I understand. I understand the concept of, you know, I guess why it makes sense, but like, you're paying another actor
They're not getting paid as close as that other person's getting paid.
Obviously, but that's part of my point. Is that like,
if you're not on camera, what's the point, man?
I just think that like, to your point though, like, you're getting paid so much money to be on this show that you can't just like stand in place for an additional what, like maybe hour of your time during the filming of something. I don't know. It's just so asinine to me. Like, ugh. Talk about like tearing things down. I hope that Hollywood. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Like, oh, I have to be somewhere. No, this is your job.
They go to their dressing room now. Are they sitting in their dressing room? Are they sitting like offset in a chair somewhere? And it's just like, it's just, I don't know. That whole thing has always been really strange to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
Anyway, are there other, like, I would say Apple TV Plus is something that, like, I wish that they had produced more content prior to quarantine, because obviously they're drip feeding stuff very, very slowly. But the content that I've seen thus far, and I'm speaking specifically to probably The Morning Show and Defending Jacob, which we're going to talk about, two of the best shows I've ever watched on television. And so I just wish that they had a bigger backlog, or that they were putting even more money toward content, because it's been such high quality from my perspective thus far.
I feel like they had a decent amount of shows. None of them were as popular as Morning Show and potentially Defending Jacob. So they came out the gate with some pretty big production value in their shows, but they're like an HBO. Like, financially, what they're delivering to people is so high quality that each episode in itself is almost probably close to the budget of a film. And totally. It looks fantastic. Locations are great. It's very real. All of that costs a lot of money. These aren't like a lot of stages and stuff. So I guess Morning Show a little bit more. So it's all of that. You can't do that on 10 different shows. You know, it's, also, you got to kind of see what's working. And it's like, before putting in that much money into that many more shows, they need to see if this is even going to be a successful platform. Because imagine if they did, budget-wise, scale-wise, Morning Show, Defending Jacob, on 15, 20 different shows, and there weren't subscribers there. And that's them sinking, you know, potentially $50 million into each show. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess my argument, though, to that would be that a company like Apple, is they don't have subscribers yet, right? For the most part, like, most of the people
they were giving it for free trials, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So but
if they literally aren't even getting people to subscribe for free, that's a problem.
Well, yes, but the problem that I would argue is that, and so I know we're going to talk about Defending Jacob specifically in a moment, but with a company like Apple, the thing that I find most interesting about that, from like, because they're a tech company, obviously, right? And so they have an exorbitant amount of cash in the bank, where they have these reserves that they could actually pay to finance more of The Morning Show and more of Defending Jacob. But that aside, they've given most of their user base a free year to, you know, view this content. And I feel like it would have been a better strategy had they had a stronger backlog of content and giving you an even more compelling reason to subscribe once that year is up. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I feel like, yes, I have The Morning Show, and yes, I have Defending Jacob. I think those are the two, you know, primary shows that really captivated me. But why not come out with like even more of that? And like, so it's a no-brainer that I would resubscribe after that year, right? Now I'm kind of like, well, I probably will, because I did love those two shows. But two shows, is that worth me giving you my money every single month going forward, when there's been two good shows in the last year, versus had you had maybe 10 good shows in the last year? I don't know the answer to that question. I think that's just kind of my perspective. And a company like Apple definitely had like the capital to finance many more Morning Shows and many more Defending Jacobs.
Yeah. And it's also interesting too. I guess this is a different, maybe a different discussion, but like Morning Show and Defending Jacob, those are not second season shows. These are just one time. This is what you get. So I don't know. Maybe that's why they could do that with those shows and make them bigger, because they're not going to continue on and it's not going to be.
Well, I do think Morning Show is renewed for a second season. So they will be filming another season of that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Defending Jacob, though, to your point, was billed initially as a limited series. And so, yes, that's like, that's it. That's all we're going to get.
Right.
So if we got HBO Max, and next up we get Peacock, and that's the new NBC streaming service. And I'm curious
to get
your thoughts.
They really want to call it Peacock.
Well, listen, that's a whole separate issue. But my question is like, is this a good time to be launching another platform? Or are we burnt out? Do we want to pay for another one? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, only is DirecTV going to give us a discount for having to sign up for all of the other things now too? Like, can we just, why do we have 17 different things?
Who's going to give you the discount?
DirecTV.
So, but, I mean, most people don't have DirecTV.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So for us,
for being, for us being the last subscribers to DirecTV, I feel like we should be paying a lot less than we are.
Yeah.
We like
$150 a month.
You know, way more than $150
Hold on.
A month.
I'm sorry. Yes. You guys spend $150 a month on
DirecTV? We spend to negotiate.
$209.89 is our
on what?
DirecTV bill every month.
You guys could get DirecTV Now for $50 a month.
We have mostly like all the channels.
No, I listen, you guys.
I'm a terrible business person. We've had this plan.
No, you're a terrible consumer.
Really doesn't like confrontation about it.
This isn't a business person. This is a consumer. You're a terrible consumer.
Well, I just okay. So obviously, when we first moved into this apartment,
which
it was
like 10
oh,
years ago.
It was like 7 years ago, okay, but it was like you get this discount for 12 months and then you get this other discount for 6 months and then you get this discount for 3 months. So it's been like this tiered thing. And now we have no discounts for the last few years for sure.
They've been gouging me for like 5 years.
They increase our rate every year. And she doesn't
It does go up a little bit too each
you
year.
Know they're laughing at you at the corporate offices. They're like, this Natalie Michelle is our one customer that we've had her
still
for 7 years.
This fucking bill.
This bitch lets us raise her rates every single year. She doesn't even get
and
it.
And she still pays for other streaming services.
And you're paying for Hulu, Netflix. Oh my God, dude. I can't.
But with our DirecTV subscription, we got HBO Max for free. So what?
Okay, well, I get it for free because I'm just joining friends that have these services. And I have it worked out with certain friends. You guys are not a part of this equation, and I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. But I've worked out with certain friends where I pay for Netflix, and then I have – and I create logins for all these people. So mm-hmm. I have another friend that plays for Hulu. And I get his login. Mm-hmm. I have another friend that plays for HBO Max. And so we've just worked it out to where it's like we all pay for one service. And so like I pay $14 a month and then I get like all these other services.
Sean, that's what we do with our friends.
Sean, do you know what that's called?
Stealing. That's called stealing. But you know what?
That's called stealing.
It's 2020.
Everybody does it.
And everybody
does
it.
That is called stealing.
Okay.
Well, and as somebody
then they can raise their prices up.
Listen,
and
bitch,
somebody who works in this industry, I don't want somebody pirating.
You are stealing.
I am not really stealing.
You're spending $200 a month for services
exactly.
that like are completely unnecessary.
You're overpaying.
I am bending over.
You like to bend
Seriously,
over, though.
You're bending you over, really and it sounds like it's. It sounds like it's painful. You're not just bending over. There's like no lube involved. So I don't even want to hear.
This has been the last few negotiations of my life. I thought I was good at this and I'm just clearly not.
Okay. Well, call me next time you need some advice because clearly you're struggling there.
I really am.
Okay. I tell her that all the time. She doesn't listen.
All right. Well, we've had a significant amount of banter, so maybe we should actually move on to like the actual intention
I know. What
of
are we
this
talking
episode.
About?
Oh, I do want to talk
oh,
about
Lord,
because you were
go.
Talking. Oh, John wants to move on. I have one more point.
Okay. That's the typical format of this show anyway, so it's fine.
It really is.
I do want to – you were saying that, like, you wanted to talk about how we like the certain platforms and stuff and how things, I think, maybe the interface and stuff. To me, and we talked about searchability on, like, Netflix and the amount of content, and it's kind of hard to find and discover things unless you really know specifically what you're looking for. It is kind of hard to stumble on to something on any of these platforms, I feel like.
Yeah.
To me, the platform I like least, not based off of the content, but by the interface alone is Hulu. I fucking cannot stand everything about that app.
Did you guys get the new update though? So they totally revamped their interface that they're
really?
Slowly rolling out. Yeah, so you should get that interface within the next week or two.
Oh, thank Christ.
It's
Do
much
you have
more.
The new one?
Yeah, it's much more.
He always has these like, why are you,
well, how
this,
do
like,
you have it?
Dummy of all of these
what
new
the
things.
Fuck? Share the information, Sean.
Well, I can't. They don't roll it out based on that. It's rolled out based on
how
randomness.
Are you on some sort of like special rollout
Jesus
list of
Christ.
Like the first person to
I mean,
get updates?
Bitch, I don't even pay for these services, so I don't know.
That is what? Crazy.
All I can tell you is that the new interface is much more, I think it's more akin to like the old version of HBO Go.
I don't know. You're going to have to screenshot like this and show it to me. I can't stand it.
Well, the current version of Hulu is like, it's like,
I hate it.
It takes up the whole screen. This is more like card driven. So you've got like the cards at the top that you scroll through. Similar to like if you have HBO Go, it's very similar to that interface.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just like even signing in, because it's this little line above the name, which I forget where the line is supposed to be on the different subscribers or the different profiles. Yeah. So I sign into a different profile almost every time.
And so I'm like, I love
how do 80-year-olds deal with this? Because I can barely handle it. It's driving me crazy.
I love the concept of the Hulu old interface, actually. I think that there's just something, I don't know, there's something much more elegant about it. I would say my biggest issue in terms of interface would be Apple TV Plus, because it's combined with all the other shit that you watch.
Yes.
And so I think that part of it is their strategy is that they don't have a lot of content right now. And so they're trying to
make it look like it does.
Exactly. But I think that once they have more content, they'll probably separate everything out into a different app, because I want to know like what is just the Apple TV Plus content. Like that's all I'm interested in right now. But they don't want you to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have kind of a funny story that kind of relates to this, but not really. So I would say probably like 2 months, whenever the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is that what it's called?
Maisel,
the Apple show, or the Amazon show. I'm a little tipsy at this point. We've been recording. You can't tell, but we've been recording for like 4 hours at this point. So Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, probably about a month before the premiere, which is probably about, 4 months ago now, they put a billboard outside of my apartment, literally outside of my unit, that was unlike any billboard I've ever seen in my life, and that it was like this neon, glowy, flashy, it looks like kind of like an old Hollywood movie marquee, right outside of my window. And they have not changed that billboard in 4 months now. And so like through the quarantine and all this bullshit that's happening, I literally have like this Marvelous Mrs. Maisel neon glowing flashy billboard outside of my bedroom window for 4 months.
Ew.
Yeah. So I just, Amazon, if you're listening, please take it down, because I can't. It's just, it's too much for me.
I feel like people just aren't spending money on any of that stuff right now.
No, they're not. But I'm suffering in the process.
Just because you've had to
endure
look at it.
The bright neon lights outside of my bedroom window.
I am so sorry, Sean.
You're not. You're not sorry.
Oh, my God.
What a terrible thing to have to live through.
Oh.
Okay. I see what you did there. All right, yeah, let's move on to the actual intention of this episode.
Awkward.
So we have a ton of shows that we want to talk about over the course of these next couple episodes. And I think, I don't know if you guys have seen this show yet, so maybe we'll just talk about it first and get it out of the way. But there's a new show on HBO Max with Anna Kendrick that I am completely and totally obsessed with, and I need to talk about it. Have you watched it?
I thought you were going to say the opposite, because that's what I've heard about it.
Love Life?
Yeah.
No, not at all. So, okay, I'm just going to talk about it really quick. We'll get out of the way. I can't believe I'm going to say this, because it kind of makes me feel old and really gross, but this show is the modern day Sex and the City. And I do not think that I have watched a show ever in the history of my television viewing experience that has made me this uncomfortable, because it hits so close to home. So the premise of this show is that each episode is a relationship in her life. And as someone that's been in a fuck ton of relationships over the course of my life, this show has caused me to reflect on my personal life in ways that like I was not prepared to deal with emotionally in the midst of a quarantine where I haven't really had human interaction in 3 months. Like, it's, watching this show has taken its toll on me. And
in a good way?
You know, it is in a good way, because I think that what I love Anna Kendrick, and I'm a kind of like a newcomer to Anna Kendrick. I didn't used to like her. Like, I wasn't a fan of like Bring It On. I think my first.
I don't think she was in Bring It On.
She was in Twilight, honey.
I thought she was in Bring It On.
Bring It On was several years before her time.
Okay, whatever. First anyway, Dunst? I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't a fan of Twilight.
You're talking about
either.
Pitch Perfect?
Yes, Pitch Perfect. Yes, sorry.
Pitch Perfect.
Oh, man.
Cheerleaders and a cappella groups.
You really stepped in it there, Sean.
I've had a lot to drink tonight. I think the point that I want to make is that I'm a new fan of Anna Kendrick. And I think the first moment that I fell in love with her was A Simple Favor, or A Simple Plan, as Nina likes to call it.
Simple Favor.
Yeah. And I don't know. I've loved her ever since that. And I've just... there's something about her vulnerability and her performance in this show that just really, really, really gets to me. And the show, I think, is doing so well that their plan was to kind of launch with the first three episodes of the show and then drip feed an episode each week. And they've actually shifted that strategy. And now they're doing like three episodes a week. So we have now 6 episodes. And then I think this week we're going to get the remaining episodes of it. It's just so good. And it's set in New York and the cinematography is great. The acting is great. I love the soundtrack. It's just, again, it's kind of a modern day Sex and the City in the sense that it's a single person in New York City that's kind of finding out who she is. And it's such a great show. And I can't say enough good things about it. I love it. Watch it.
What's the genre? Is it comedy? Is it dramedy? Is it drama?
It's like a dramatic rom-com, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like similar tones to Sex and the City, or do you feel like Sex and the City was a little bit more light?
I feel like Sex and the City is more adult.
No, I don't think that it's, I think if you watch the show, you would know what I meant. I think it's got like a narrator in the background and it's got.
Well, so did Sex and the City.
That's what I mean.
It's
so
really a hard on for New York.
I would really compare it to Sex and the City. I just think that there's mm-hmm. something about the show that is, it just feels very fresh. It's, again, it's very vulnerable. It's very, I don't know. It's just, it's really good. And I can't recommend it more than I do. It's a
great
show. Oh
my God. You know what I realized?
We didn't talk about the martini.
We didn't fucking talk about the martini.
Oh, crap. I just finished it, too.
I finished mine.
I said that about, like, I don't know, halfway into my sermon on love life. And I was like, I think I talked about my drunkenness. And then I realized we didn't talk about the martini. So, Natalie, this would be a good time.
I feel like we've been on vacation for way too long.
We've been on vacation for too long.
We don't even know how to do this fucking show. Yeah, we're talking about television shows. We're not even talking about movies.
You know what's funny? I'm gonna share something with the audience right now, a little BTS. I literally have a note that after I ask you what you guys think about the platforms that are launching, don't forget to talk about the martini.
You know.
Oops. We also forgot how to read.
This is what happens when we've been recording for like 10 hours and we don't know what time it is. I don't even know what day it is, to be honest with you. And I'm tipsy as fuck.
Same.
So that's what happens.
I kind of like it. I'm like, I don't know what day it is. Do I have something to do today? I'm going to have to check my schedule.
So Natalie, why don't you tell us about the martini we're drinking tonight?
It was quite delicious.
Well, the martini, and now I've had two, it's a threefold martini. It is. Three. I figured out the third.
Not to mention, not to be confused with twofold.
Well, I had a martini in a previous episode that was a twofold reasoning for it. So this is now a threefold reasoning. You know, inspiration for it. That's the better word for it.
Is this one you were going to deliver to me like a month ago?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, we drank it tonight. Sorry.
So this is a Dreamsicle martini.
Oh.
So it tastes just like a Dreamsicle popsicle.
Do you mean creamsicle?
Oh, maybe.
Sean, it's like an orange Julius.
That would be creamsicle.
Yep, creamsicle. Okay, great. So then it is, I named it Dreamsicle. Did you? I think so. It's been so long since I've had this in my plan of what I wanted to do.
Is it named after a TV show? Or are you just free?
So I think why
it's named threefold. So there's three shows.
So it works with three different shows that we're going to talk about.
So she thinks.
So I think. So one being Hollywood, because they want to go to Dreamland. That's why I named it Dreamsicle.
Okay.
Second show is Normal People. Have you seen that, Sean?
We're going to talk about that.
Okay. But did you watch it? Yes or no?
I watched about 15 minutes of the pilot.
Okay, great. So in one of the later episodes, the couple.
Okay, you're
going
to talk about
the
third thing, right?
Yeah, I'll get there. But I'm explaining how it's related. I'm not talking about the details of what happens.
I see this a lot on the show, but if this is your first episode of the Martini Scale, I would recommend going back and listening to like the long shot episode or something other than this.
We are so drunk right now. I apologize.
Okay. So I'm not going to talk about the specifics. They're in a bedroom. They're eating popsicles. They lay the popsicles down on the floor. And I was angry at all the situations that are happening. Like, who, one, doesn't finish a popsicle? Two, that is getting melted all over the fucking floor. That's disgusting. Sticky. Throw it away.
And sticky.
Yeah, and sticky. So, you know, I know they're dealing with sticky other stuff later, but.
That's what she said. Okay, what's the third one, Natalie?
Third fold.
That better not be what's in this martini.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I drank two of them.
The third fold is a television show, Dave. There's a special episode talking about milking. Mm-mm. And so I really wanted a cream-based martini.
I think it's time to move on. I think it's time to move on. This is becoming highly inappropriate for the children.
Nope.
We have children that listen to the episode?
No, we don't.
Anyways, so you know this was an inspiration from...
I'm renaming it Dreamland. We're not talking about the other
two. It's a dreamsicle. Folds. It's a dreamsicle martini. So it's inspired by three television shows.
I think Hollywood is probably the best reference. And you know what I want to say about Hollywood? I feel like Hollywood came out 5 years ago. Like, it seems like so long ago that I watched that show. And I know we're going to talk about it. And it's a great show. I'm excited. But it feels like I watched that show 10 years ago.
This should be our segue into it. Let's talk about Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Since we're here, go for it.
Thoughts. Hollywood is a dramatic miniseries about a group of aspiring actors. I have notes on this. It's a dramatic miniseries about a group of actors and filmmakers during the Hollywood Golden Age in the post-World War II. I can't read right now.
Trying to make their dreams come true. The series received mixed reviews from critics who praised the performances of the cast and production value, but criticized its tone, writing, and the artistic license taken.
Thank you, Lena. It stars an ensemble cast, including David Korsenwetz. Is that right? Is that how you say his name? I've always wondered that.
I don't know. That's a really bad name. Change your name, man.
Yeah, it is. Darren Criss, Laura Harrier, Joe Mantello. Okay. Dylan McDermott, Jake Picking, Jeremy Pope. Oh my God. Holland Taylor, Samara Weaving, Jim Parsons, and Patti LuPone. The series. I'm so used to saying the film. The series is created by Ryan Murphy and Ian Brennan, and it was released on May 1st, 2020, aka 1997.
7 years ago.
Oh my God. On Netflix. What did we think about this one?
Ladies. You know, I liked it. I think the first couple episodes felt a little self-servicing to the things Ryan Murphy enjoys. And that would be a lot of attractive
hot men,
you know, in sexual situations. Hey, I don't mind that either. But it did get to a point where it's like, especially because he has such a specific type of look in a guy that he, I think, is obviously very attracted to you. You see that he casts and everything.
Totally my type too. Thank you.
There's a part of me that feels I get a little bit creeped out that it's like, oh God, like all of these guys are in these situations all the time because of Ryan Murphy. But, you know, I think where he actually ended up with the show and the story he was trying to tell was probably one of the most meaningful things. Other than, what was that Heart movie he did on HBO? A Normal Heart?
Oh.
A Normal Heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
other than that movie, because that was great. But I feel like this has been one of the most meaningful things he could have done. And it's like this Tarantino tone where it's like you're shifting history and it's you're asking, what if this happened instead of this? And to kind of see in this world that I personally
and
wish
what
we could
a
have
time.
Lived in. Yeah, that
what
it's like,
a time.
God, if certain people had made different decisions, how would that have set us on a different trajectory? And I think Hollywood has had such a huge influence in society. You're showing us, you're bringing people into homes that are, you know, people that you highlight and are exciting and whatever. And it's like, had you been able to have like a female African-American actress leading a movie back then, like that would have been, how would that have changed things? I don't know. It's just
crazy.
You know, I think people were so scared to, you know, step up and fight for what was right then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they had this sort of like guilt of like, they don't want to bring the company down. They don't want to bring the business down. They don't want to have, you know, people protesting or rioting at the studio and da 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 da. And they're never going to get their movies in theaters again. But this was kind of a fun way of getting to see if somebody had made a different decision.
Yeah, I think, Natalie, I have to tell you, so the whole time that I'm watching this, and I don't know if you know what I'm going to say, but...
No. That I should be running Hollywood?
Well, obviously. I mean, there's that for sure. But no, where this was filmed and the entire time that I'm watching the show. So I think we maybe have talked about this before, but Natalie used to work on the Paramount lot and I would go there for lunch probably like once a week. I would meet you and we would eat at the commissary and we'd walk around the lot. And like this, watching this show, even though it's set obviously in a very different time period, it just really made me like sentimental for like those lunches that we had together and just the conversations that we had. And like this show like really made me think of you. And I loved that. Like I loved that it was filmed literally like on the Paramount lot. And I don't know that. So that like that aspect of it really like immediately kind of made me feel very sentimental. But I loved like stylistically, it's a gorgeous, the production was amazing. I thought the acting was really good. I think my only complaint in that realm was that I really wanted more Samara Weaving. Like I just love her so much. And I really, really wanted to see more of her.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I really liked the show. I think, it kind of served all the expectations that I had. Like I think the bar was set with Ryan Murphy shows for me. The bar is always kind of somewhere in the middle because I've loved the stuff that he's done. And then I've not really understood or, you know, resonated with the stuff that he's done. But the show like was just, it just felt like a really quality show. And like Netflix stuff, as we know in particular, is very hit or miss for me. And so this rose to the occasion for me. I really liked it.
Yeah. I think for me, I totally enjoyed the show. It got so much better and my expectations were not like, it was so much better than what I expected. And I think Natalie said it right, where it's like, yes, it's self-serving at the beginning from Ryan Murphy with this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I think that's probably why I set my expectations the way they were, because I'm like, he likes to use the same people. And at this one, I was like, okay, he's using a lot of different people. Yes, Darren, Chris, whatever. But like, there's some new faces in there. Samara Weaving, we love her. And I think also too, bringing her a little bit more mainstream, and so we can see her more. I think that's such a good thing. And I also think, like, you know, the woman empowerment, like, I wasn't expecting that. And I like, there's just so many things I wasn't expecting the way it turned into being. And I was really emotional about this. And on the Paramount lot, same thing. I was like, oh my God, we've been there a million times. And it's just like, there's so many things to it that like really made a lot of sense to like, not why we live in LA, but because we live in LA, like all these things, like just kind of feel like cohesive watching it. And it's just such a good show. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's hard if you're not like a Ryan, like you have all these, you know, like opinions about Ryan Murphy. But I think this completely changed for me what he can do. Cause I was like, okay, if it's still going to be like American Horror Stories and this and that, it's like the same kind of thing. It gets a little like played out and boring, but this was completely different, especially the way it turned out in the end.
I will say that, again, I'm very indifferent to Ryan Murphy. Like I've loved and I've not loved a lot of the stuff that he's done. This one though, I went into it with kind of, I set aside my expectations or lack thereof of Ryan Murphy. And I just felt like I loved the cast and I knew that going into this, I was going to love the cast. And so I let the cast kind of be my guide more than the producer. And I think I had also listened to around the time that this came out, so one of my favorite podcasts is, there's a woman named Kara Swisher who hosts a podcast called Recode Decode, where she interviews people from like tech, entertainment, politics. It's really cool. But she interviewed Ryan Murphy and he talked about his experience with Netflix as opposed to like working with like Fox and FX and all these other networks that he's worked with and how different mm-hmm. the creative process was working with Netflix. And I really encourage you to find that episode and go listen to it because he really shed a lot of insight about how he kind of had like free reign on the show. And you could kind of tell, like, it was just, I don't know. The only word that comes to mind with the show is just like quality. It's just a high quality production. And
I mean, I feel like his production value is always spectacular. Yeah. Like he delivers on that every single time. Mm-hmm. My issue with him on past shows has been an overabundance of, you know, I think storylines and characters that it's like you don't really allow anybody to like dig into one specific thing, which it's even talking about wanting to see more of Samara Weaving. And it's like, yeah, well, this is a show that, you know, introduced, you know, 12 kind of co-stars in this show. And it's how do you get attached to each person's storyline?
Yeah.
You know, to be able to kind of like dive into a show that quickly and something that only has as limited episodes as it does. It's not like this is running for 20 episodes where we get to build some time on that. Yeah. So, and then I think this is a limited series, right? So I don't think there's no second season of this. So, you know, that's a lot to do and a lot of characters to cover in that short amount of time. I mean, I think the one benefit of it is that some of the characters were real people. So I think people were already invested because they were real people. So I think he did get a little bit of a head start that way.
Well, and I think there's something really interesting to talk about there. And I think we've made a conscious effort in this episode to not spoil too much for you in case you haven't watched any of these shows. And I don't want to do that necessarily. But one of the interesting things about this show that I am going to spoil, so skip ahead like 2 minutes if you want to, is the notion that it takes place in kind of an alternate universe where if things had gone kind of like the right way, quote unquote, this is how things would have turned out. So like the Rock Hudson character, for example, right? Like Rock Hudson definitely had a much more tumultuous, traumatic, you know, life story than is played out in this show. And there was something really cool about seeing, like, especially like as a gay man, like watching that story play out in a way that was advantageous to, you know, the Rock Hudson character in this universe. It was kind of cool to see that play out. And I know that there was some controversy with the way that he executed that, at least when the series first came out and the stuff that I read. But I'm glad that he did that. Cause I think that obviously, like, you know, if you get to the finale of the series, you see that, you know, there's kind of like justice for all of these people that didn't necessarily get justice in real life. And I thought that was a really interesting take on all of this. All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay. Up next is a show called Upload from Amazon. And it is a science fiction comedy series created by Greg Daniels. It stars Robbie Amell, Andy Ello, and Allegra Edwards, who looks just like Kayleigh McEnany, who is Trump's new press secretary. And it creeps me the fuck out, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Upload is set in 2033, where humans are able to upload themselves into a virtual afterlife of their choosing. When computer programmer Nathan dies prematurely, he's uploaded to the very expensive Lakeview, but soon finds himself under the thumb of his possessive, still-living girlfriend, Ingrid. As Nathan adjusts to the pros and cons of digital heaven, he bonds with Nora, his living customer service rep, or Angel. Nora struggles with the pressures of her job, her dying father, who does not want to be uploaded, and her growing feelings for Nathan, while slowly coming to believe that Nathan was murdered. It premiered May 1st, 2020 on Amazon Prime, and later that month was renewed for a second season. And I think that is the longest intro I have ever read in my entire
life. It got renewed?
And you got all the way through it.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm proud of myself.
It got renewed?
Okay. I'm going to take it that you did not like the show because you seem very surprised by this, Lena.
I mean, guys.
Please start with
I don't know either if either one of you have watched The Good Place at all, ever. But this is like not even like it should be like on that level, and it's just not. I love Robbie. I love Robbie. I think he's adorable. His cousin Steven is even more adorable.
I think hot but is the word you were looking for, but just, go ahead.
What?
I think hot is the word you were looking for. So I just want to tell the audience who I know this is a podcast and it's not a visual medium. But Miss Natalie has been doing this thing where she, so just to give you guys some
ready to meet Robbie and Steven. That's
some more behind
doing.
The some more behind the scenes here. So aside from the fact that we're all heavily intoxicated at this point, we have been trying to record this episode. You might notice that the audio is like slightly more enhanced than it's ever been. And that's because we're using a new recording service. But with that comes so many technical challenges that I cannot even tell you. Having
we
said
didn't
that
practice, guys. If anybody watched Cheer on Netflix, we should be practicing every day.
So we having said that, in between takes, Natalie has been adjusting, I think is the best word, her lipstick.
Reinventing. Time. I think she's and reinventing. So
every time I look at the screen, I see Natalie's lips getting progressively more and more red. And larger and more plump. They look beautiful, by the way. But
thank you.
I am so taken aback because I almost like don't want to look at the screen again because every time I do, it gets more extreme.
I feel
so
like
are we saying we don't like me in red lipstick? If it makes you not want to look at me.
No, I'm love just saying, you in red lipstick.
About 10 shades ago, I think I was happiest and I was most comfortable.
Like, you're giving now, me Madonna vibes right now with those lips and that beauty mole. Like, it's just
Madonna
like very
circa
90s.
Like Madonna circa like 1997.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I feel like 94.
Okay. Fine. 94. Vogue.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho. So, what did we
back
think of Amazon?
To upload?
I'm sorry. What did we think of Amazon? Yes.
Natalie has thoughts, I'm sure.
I have thoughts too. First of all, you guys know who Greg Daniels is, right?
Yes. He also did Space Force.
And?
Office.
And?
That's, I'm done. Parks and Rec, maybe?
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I didn't watch Parks and Rec.
Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
Greg Daniels and I have issues.
Not your tone. You are not his audience.
Nope.
Clearly. So I do like Greg Daniels. I love The Office. I didn't even sit down and actually watch an episode. This was just on in the background and Lena was watching it as
she
I was working.
Like, what are you watching?
And I was just like appalled at what I was catching every once in a while. And I was like, what is this garbage?
So, okay, I'm gonna stop you because I actually loved this show. I loved it from the first 4K all in all of its cinematic glory episode. There was something like really charming about the show. And what's interesting is I did know that it was from Greg Daniels. And so I kind of went in having an office level expectation of kind of what the show was going to look like. And I think my only complaint slash thing I would have tweaked is his show. And I have the same complaint about Space Force, which I know we'll get to later, but I really appreciate like the cinema verite style where it's kind of like you break the fourth wall and you've got like the, you know, the talking heads that kind of interject with their thoughts. I think it would have been more interesting had they presented it that way, because the notion, it's just because the fact that they didn't, it felt very Disney to me. And so I was watching the show and it just felt like much more whimsical and Disney and like, I don't know, than it probably needed to.
Again, I didn't watch every episode.
I was going to say, did you finish down. It even?
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't even sit down and watch a single episode. Yeah. I have no idea what the story is really about.
Like, I'm you were like working and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, when it was just on in the background, it felt like the Lifetime version of Good Place.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
More accurate, maybe, but I also feel like this is too much of a push up is CW version of Good Place.
Yes, I agree. Because also, maybe it's also me, but I am a little detached to Andy Allo, who's the main girl, his angel. She played Lieutenant Weaver, Seaver, something on Chicago Fire, who tried to destroy my Taylor Kinney, and no one comes for my Taylor Kinney. So I already had like an opinion about her. So then she's in the show and I'm like, I don't know. So maybe that's my fault for taking that into the show. Again, I don't know Greg Daniels because I am not an Office fan. I am not a Parks and Recs fan. I'm not a Space Force fan. Like, all of that. And I didn't realize it was him. And then it makes so much sense now because I'm like, this is why I didn't like this show. It's just,
I don't think it makes any sense though, because even tonally, it's nothing like any of his other shows. And so I don't know. Listen, I think,
but I don't watch those shows because I don't like
it. It's a different workplace comedy.
Yeah.
It's that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is. It's her and she's his angel and whatever. It's a different variation. And guess what? Space Force is a workplace comedy.
Oh, very Space Force absolutely very is true. A workplace very comedy. True. Yeah, for sure.
It's listen, just different workplaces.
I think that this show kind of is what it is. And it stands very, very much apart from all of his other shows, I think. I enjoyed it. I think, again, the one thing that I would complain about in the show is the fact that...
Only one thing?
Yeah, because I actually really liked it.
You liked it.
My biggest problem with the show is the fact that if you have ever watched CNN or if you know anything about the Trump administration, you know that Trump hired this bumbling idiot of a blonde woman named Kayleigh McEnany to be his press secretary. And
can I just ask a question? What happened to that Kellyanne lady? Did she replace her?
Kellyanne Conway? No, she was never the press secretary. But he hired this.
Why don't we ever see that lady anymore? Because no one likes her.
Because
blonde lady all the time.
She lied so much that people just stopped talking to her.
But she still has her job. Anyways, that's a different story. Let's move on.
She does. Yeah. Okay. But no, Kayleigh McEnany looks exactly like the lead actress in this, the blonde woman. That her name is, what is it? Allegra Edwards, I think.
Yeah, and I don't like that girl.
I was so distracted by that. Like, the casting was so wrong for that particular character that the whole time I'm watching the show, all I thought was like, he's dating Kayleigh McEnany. And no wonder why I don't like this character. Like, I don't know. It just annoyed the living hell out of me. And it is what it is. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the set design, the cinematography. I enjoyed the acting. I enjoyed the writing. I really liked it. And I'm actually really excited for the second season.
I mean, I will say, like, yes, it looked very nice. The cinematography, it looked good. But again, it was still like a kindergarten version of The Good Place. I don't know why, but like, I just couldn't get attached like The Good Place.
And I've never seen The Good Place, so I'm probably
I think
the best
you would really like it, Sean. It's really so funny. Yeah, it's very funny.
Interesting.
Once you get past like the whole idea of it, it really is funny.
Huh. Okay. I'll check it out.
Anyways.
Well, next one. We are going to actually continue this episode next week because we have a lot more to discuss and we are incredibly drunk right now. And so I think it's best if we use this as the cutoff point for the next episode, even though Natalie has just redone her makeup and she looks fantastic.
She just put bronzer on, you guys.
I'm ready to go.
She's ready to go to Club Chromatica. That's what
I'm ready to talk about Unorthodox. and, you know, Berlin, and I'm ready for it. And you
Chromatica
just
awaits.
It's she has a very Lady Gaga-esque look about her right now. I'm going to take a screenshot and post it on our social because I think it's only appropriate. I love you. I love you, audience. I love you, co-hosts. I'm ready to move on to the next episode.
We love you, Sean.
We have so much more television to talk about.
Yeah, I promise we won't be as drunk, maybe.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers!
Bye!